up, everybody? Here we are with the Autoflower Review. Sure appreciate you joining us. Hope you're having a good day. On today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about watering issues. It's something that's we've got several questions about. We get questions about it pretty much constantly because it's such a common problem. So we thought it'd be good to do an episode just about watering. If you're growing in soil or cocoa or any medium like that, you probably have ran into this before. Maybe you figured it out, and maybe you haven't. Maybe you continue to struggle with it. It's easy to do, especially if it's a bigger pot that doesn't have the best drainage. It can happen real easily. I know I've had it happen many times. So over time, I've figured out a few things to do that really helps, you know, with the process of watering and making sure not to overwater. And of course, this all depends on your budget and all that, but one of the best things you can do is get you an autopot system. That pretty much takes everything we're about to talk about out of it. It's a great system. It bottom feeds from a reservoir, so you don't really have to do anything. It actually just makes it a lot more easier. But if you do decide you want to get an autopot system, make sure to jump on our website, and there's a link under, I think it's the product or the sponsors page, I believe. It should just be TAFR 420. That's usually our code with almost all of our sponsors to save you some money. So if you decide to go that route, pretty much disregard the rest of this episode. Because, like I say, with those systems, it really makes it, you know, effortless and takes the guesswork out of it. But if you're not using an autopot system and you're just using grow bags or pots and like soil and cocoa, one thing I've found that helps is when you go to make your pot up, before you put your soil or cocoa in, get you some small rocks or the little clay, expanded clay pebbles that you use for DWC, the little round brown rocks, anything like that. And just put you some at the very bottom of your pot or your grow bag, maybe, you know, an inch or so worth. Just really gives it an area for drainage just there at the very bottom. So that helps a lot. But the biggest thing is, or at least what I do now, is just simply pick the pot up. That's the easiest way to know, because after you water, you can kind of pick it up then and tell like how heavy it is. It'll feel real heavy. And once it's, you know, got pretty dry and actually needs to be watered, it'll be extremely light in comparison. So that's the number one thing I would suggest, is, you know, pay attention to that. So right after you water one time, just kind of feel how heavy that is. And, usually it's going to take a few days, if not a week or so, for it to, you know, dry up. But, if you have any questions of, you know, hey, is it dry enough to water? You'll know, because when it's pretty much totally dry, it's so light. You can just give it a quick, just lift it up a few inches off the ground, and you'll know right away. And once you experience this, you'll see what I mean. It's really... Excuse me. It's really just a matter of kind of getting to know that, because I know for me, you know, after doing that for a while, I've really been able to just pick it up real quick and know really, really quick, just within a couple seconds. And I usually kind of lean toward, you know, the drier the better before I actually water, because, you know, if it gets so dry that it's affecting the plant, you'll see it on the plant. But you know, because of, I think, the perlite and stuff like that that's in the soil and cocoa, it that retains water, so it has moisture up in there longer than you would think. I think. It seems to me, at least, because, I mean, it takes a little while for it to get dried out to the point where you're seeing it in the plant. So, you know, if you ever have, you know, you just, you know, like I say, lift it up, and if it's not super light. Matter of fact, one of the, what I've been telling people, just one-on-one, is when you make your, when you make up your pot, before you put any water in it at all, and it's just, you know, soil or cocoa and, you know, no water, just lift it up then, you know, and feel how light that is. And that'll give you kind of a, you know, idea. And then go and, you know, do the same thing once you water it that first time, give it that good first water, then lift it up, and then, you know, you'll have an idea at that point. And that's the biggest or easiest way, in my opinion, at least, to know. I mean, there's moisture meters and stuff like that you can use. And, I mean, I have used them, and, you know, there's a lot of different options with that out there. So, yeah, no hate on anything. I mean, because there's a lot that I haven't used, so I can't really say on that. But without the use of equipment or meters or any of that, you can definitely just feel the weight when it's dry, and you'll know. I mean, it's real clear. I mean, it's something that once you do it, you'll be like, ah, okay. Because I know when I can't even remember who told me to do this method way back, but I know when I first did it and realized the difference, I thought, like, man, I'm an idiot. This is so easy to, you know, just to know, because, I mean, water is very heavy. So, you know, when your whole pot is very light like that. Now, that said, once the plant gets, you know, bigger, it's obviously, you know, a little bit harder to just lift up the plant without the actual plant being in your way. But, and that said, once the plant gets later in life, and also let me be clear, I'm talking mostly with autoflowers. The same thing can definitely apply with photos, but with autos, you know, they grow so fast, sometimes they can get quite large, and picking it up like that can be a little bit difficult. So when I say all this, take it a little bit with a grain of salt, because you'll, you know, have to kind of figure out your own way in your grow to accomplish this. But I have known people to actually have like a little, you know, like a home scale that you would use to check your weight, step up on, what's the name of those? Just a, like a bathroom scale. I have known people to use those, and they just lay it in the tent there and put the, well, first of all, they weighed it, you know, when it was just dried soil, so they know what that is, and so they have that baseline number, and then they use that moving forward to kind of get an idea of if it needs to be watered. So that's yet another reason why I've really became a big proponent of autopot systems, because, I mean, you know, they're not very expensive for what you get, and it's all designed in a way that, you know, you're going to get years and years of service out of it. And when you keep that in mind, it's actually pretty cheap. So, you know, that's really the way I've been kind of recommending things to people. But at the same time, I know that, you know, not everybody has the budget to, you know, pull the trigger on something like that. So, you know, a lot of you guys might just be, you know, first-time growers that are just having watering issues, and you're like, what the hell? You know, and it's one of those things where you can go down this just path of bullshit trying to figure out, like, oh, is it a deficiency, is it this, is it that, is it this, is it that, you know? And really, it's just over watering and that goes with all plants, you know, because I've done this with you know, plants in the garden more than once, actually. And like a couple of things, it was 2 or 3 years ago, I had the crazy idea that, like, you know what, I'm gonna grow a bunch of really, really hot peppers. You know, I've always been intrigued by that. So I got some seeds from a buddy that deals with, you know, that's all he grows is like Carolina Reapers and stuff like that. So he sent me a pack of those, and I ended up growing, I think I had like 8 or 10 of those plants, maybe 12. And early on, you know, in their life, and like early summer, you know, I was watering them too much and didn't really realize it. And I noticed that the little flowers were just kind of falling off. It's like they weren't getting pollinated. And that was driving me crazy because I thought, like, what's going on? I thought it was a pH issue because that's something, you know, we tend to go to, you know, pretty quick with any kind of cannabis. So I was going crazy with that, trying to do all kinds of things, thinking that it was a pH thing. But, you know, turns out I was just overwatering it. And with those particular plants and probably many others, that's one of the symptoms of it being overwatered. The flowers like to just fall off. So that was kind of my first experience with realizing, like, oh, fuck, I'm overwatering, you know. And I've heard about this, and, you know, it didn't dawn on me for days or weeks, you know. And that kind of stuff gets so frustrating. And, you know, things like that is what causes people to give up on growing, you know. And that's something we try to encourage people, you know, don't give up. You know, you know, all these things we learn from, like, all we have team members, including myself, that continually have issues with something. And all of those issues basically usually end up with a learning opportunity. And that's the way you need to look at it if you want to be a good grower, you know. And it's always going to be a learning process. So, you know, you just have to kind of take things with a grain of salt, try to learn from them. I know it's frustrating because, you know, especially if you're a small grower just growing one or two plants, and then you have one that's messing up on you, and you're thinking, like, oh, this is going to, you know, die or something, and it's going to be months and months and months before I have my own product, you know. So I understand that, but, you know, you have to kind of look at it like an investment. And, you know, if you do that, you will get to a point to where you've kind of figured all these little nuances out, and, you know, you'll realize one day, like, man, I'm killing it in a good way. So, you know, I just kind of go with watering. If you, you know, again, if you don't have a self-watering system like an autopot, you know, I tend to lean toward, you know, I'd rather it be too dry than too wet. Cause you know, they like the, like, actually, and again, you know, take everything I say with a bit of a grain of salt, because I'm not an expert by any means. A lot of you guys know that now, but by now I'm a grower just like you. Learning as we go. So we just try to share this information, and, like our team and you guys, the whole community we've put together here, that's the whole purpose, is that, you know, all together, if we can put egos aside and stuff like that, and just, like, let's work as a unit, you know. And by doing that, we're going to learn together. And when this guy over here makes a mistake and shares that mistake, everybody sees it, and he shares how he fixed it or what he did wrong, you know. And all that stuff, just over time, you know, you're going to come across a lot of information that's going to help you. So anyway, with that said, I just try to lean toward too dry than too wet, because I've read that when the root system or root zone is dry, that actually makes the roots kind of expand out quicker because it's looking for water. And by doing so, increases your root mass, and in turn, a much, much better plant. So, but with that said, you don't want to let it just dry out bone dry. I kind of visualize it like it's 95% dry. There's a little bit of moisture still in there. I'm not seeing the plant drooping over or anything like that due to the lack of water, but it's close to that. And, so it's one of those things, but, you know, like I say, you can always, you know, just go by the weight method. You know, and there's other solutions out there, but I definitely recommend, or through my own process of messing stuff up constantly, I found that cocoa drainage-wise, seems to do a lot better than soil. Cocoa is inert, so it doesn't really hold on to anything. So that's also a big positive. So what I've started doing, And I experiment too, so I'm not saying I do this exclusively, but what I've started doing on my non, let me back up a little bit. We generally exclusively run DWC hydroponics, but I like to do a lot of different experiments, and usually that involves soil or cocoa. But I found that if you just get block cocoa, you can usually get it at your local Home Depot or Lowe's or, you know, any place like that, or you can order it off Amazon. But it, you know, just, they have compressed blocks of cocoa. I think they're, you know, about $5 a piece. And usually that one block is enough to do, you know, like a 2 or 3 gallon pot or something along, somewhere in that range. And what I do is, you know, you drop that brick into a bucket, throw some water in there, you know, the cocoa expands and becomes normal cocoa. And then I throw in a couple handfuls of perlite and mix it up good. I think you can also use vermiculite, but I haven't used that before. I probably should, just to give it a shot, but just regular perlite works fine. That just, all that does is, you know, add some moisture retention element into the cocoa, because like I say, everything kind of drains right through it. So if you just use just cocoa with no perlite, you know, you're going to have, I would keep a closer eye on the water situation, because I would think it would drain right out and dry up a lot quicker. So I have found a lot better success with cocoa, just using 100% cocoa rather than, you know, any soil I've used. Some of them have been fine, but you know, it definitely, there's all these other elements, because like soil you get at the store, that's one other big bad thing. Most all the soil I've ever bought at just retail stores, you know, it's kind of garbage. You know, it's compost. You know, you've probably seen it before if you've bought soil. You know, you see pieces of wood and all kinds of stuff, like big pieces. Small pieces would be fine, but, you know, you can kind of tell it comes out of a trash compost pile or something. So that's another reason I kind of, you know, and with that you get, you know, possible bacteria, bugs, you know, just lots of variables that you do not want in your garden, especially, you know, indoors. If you're outdoors, it's a little different, but indoors, you don't want all that shit. So with cocoa, like I say, it's inert, it's clean. You don't have to really worry about that kind of stuff. And it's very reusable. That's the other thing. I've had really good luck. Actually, like when one gets done and I'm using 100% cocoa, I can just pull it right out, kind of shake it a little bit, and a lot of that loose cocoa just comes off. Just toss the, you know, root ball and all that, and, you know, reuse it. But that's just me. I'm not saying I recommend that. I'm just a stickler for not wasting things, so I try to reuse as much as I can. But, yeah, that's definitely a individual choice kind of thing. It's probably not recommended, honestly, to reuse anything like that. But, you know, I've always figured, like, you know, if you have a method of, like with the cocoa, you know, I rinse it out real good and kind of mix it around and keep rinsing it and, you know, till I'm just getting clear water coming out. And so far I haven't had an issue with that. So it works pretty well in my experience, but you know, that's what I would recommend, especially if, you know, if you're a person listening to this episode that's thinking about getting started growing and you want to grow, you know, non-hydroponically, that would be the way I would say to give it a shot. Cause, there's so many options. You know, you've probably been reading about living soil and, you know, and all that stuff's great, but you know, my experience is, it's been kind of all over the place with a lot of that kind of thing. So my biggest goal in this podcast is just to let you know, here, do this and you will succeed. There's going to be better ways, maybe faster ways, you know, all that. But, you know, they also come with their own headache or, you know, additional knowledge and experiences you need to be successful at it. So I always want to give you guys a baseline of, like, here's how to start and be successful. And then, you know, experiment from there. Kind of like I'm talking about, I do, you know. Like, for instance, I just started 6 autos in, like, these are little 6-inch self-watering pots I got at Walmart. And they're, like, $2 a piece. They have, like, a little reservoir underneath. but they're very small, and I'm using a mix of organic soil and biochar. And yeah, again, it's an experiment, so it's not something that I'm actually even including in the review updates or anything, but I like to experiment a lot myself. It's fun. So, but yeah, that's about it, guys. You just want to take it easy and don't let this, you know, if you have problems in your garden, don't get over, you know, worked up about it, because it is easy to have problems. And as soon as you start having problems that you can't identify, you start kind of jumping into all kinds of crazy shit and buying all kinds of stuff, trying to fix it, when really it was just usually this one simple thing that you just kind of overlooked. And I know I've done that many, many times. So, you know, nothing to feel bad about. It's always, like I say, a learning experience. So, you know, it is what it is. But if you just keep the right mindset and think of it like each of these issues, and you know, you overcome it and you figure it out, it goes a long way. You know, you're not going to do that again. Or if you see an issue like that again, you're going to have a much better idea of what's probably causing it. So the biggest thing with soil a cocoa grows is drainage. Drainage, drainage, drainage. Make sure that, you know, you use a medium, meaning soil or cocoa, that drains really well. You know, because some of it turns into kind of like a mud kind of consistency when it gets wet, and it does not drain worth a shit. And that is no good. So, but anyway, that's about it, guys. I guess I'm going to wrap this one up before I end up rambling on for 30 more minutes about the same thing. I'm real bad about that because I feel like I hadn't, you know, I might have missed something. But as always, you know, just, you know, if you have any questions or concerns or just want to know some information at all, you know, just please reach out to us, DM us on Instagram at The Auto Flower Review, or email us at theautoflowerreview@gmail.com. Or our team is always here to help any way we can. You know, we love this community, and it's been really, really, it's been amazing, you know, just to be part of this amazing group of people, both on the team and the community and breeders and companies. I mean, it's really been kind of heartwarming, honestly, as silly as that might sound. You know, this is a very tight-knit community that, you know, most everybody is, you know, out to want to help others. And that's just not something you see very much in the world. So very humbled to be part of it, and, you know, sure love everybody and just, you know, want everybody to be successful. And so, you know. And if you haven't already, just let me go ahead and mention, if you haven't entered our second annual April 20th giveaway yet, make sure to jump over to the original post for it on our IG at The Auto Flower Review, and make sure to get entered. All you got to do is just like the post, share it to your story, tag 3 friends, and follow all the sponsors in the list there, which there is a long list, but keep in mind, most all of those sponsors contributed to all 5 prize packs. So there is a long list, but it's because they made each of the prize packs insane. So it probably only takes you a minute or two to really do it, but we really want everybody to be involved because it's such an amazing opportunity. And you know, we're going to be streaming live from Tokefest in Tokeland, Washington, at that event on April 20th. We'll have a table there, so if you're anywhere near the Washington State area, you know, please come by and hang out with us, and we'll love to see you and talk to you. And anyway, so yeah, make sure to get entered on that. Don't want to be left out. You can't win it if you're not in it. And aside from that, that's about it, guys. Just, you know, like I say, feel free to hit us up anytime. We're here to help any way we can. And until next time, you know what to do. Grow in peace.